As you notice, Jesus, in the middle of all that, calls them foolish. Wake up, listen, pay attention, see what is already there. And it's almost like a wake-up call to them, and also can be an invitation and a wake-up call to us. So in that same spirit that everything is about the breaking of the bread and being in unity with Jesus, I would like to invite the choir to inspire us. And through the homily, I'm going to ask once in a while, it's almost like a wake-up call, that we'll be singing a little. Since you like to sing, let's do this part. And I believe you all know this song. You all know this song.
And your body makes us one. Your body makes us one. Your body makes us one in you. Oh, your body makes us one. Your body makes us one. Your body makes us one with you.
And that's the invitation that Jesus places on us and on the disciples. So let's tell the story from the disciples' point of view. As you heard, probably according to our age, 10 times, 20 times, 30 times through our life, 40 times, 50 times or more, every time probably this passage might seem a little different. But it's always about a passage that a stranger starts to walk with these two disciples, that somehow they were kind of depressed, they were sad, they didn't find any meaning in their life at that particular moment, their sense of direction was not completely there because the people and the person that they loved the most was gone. And so there they were, walking back to their village, which was, as the passage described to us, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they start to walk, a stranger, and I keep repeating a stranger because they didn't recognize Jesus, the person that they live with, they slept, they eat with, and they experienced life for the last 3 of their years, they were not able to recognize. So it was a stranger, start to walk with them. And as he compelled them to start to look anew and saying, look at the scriptures. Why did he have to die? Why did he have to suffer? Why did he have to go through all of that? And he starts to explain to them the scriptures. It's very brief, the way that is explained to us, that he spent the time looking back at the scriptures, scriptures that they all knew by heart. They were good Jewish people, which means they knew by memory most of the Old Testament. They knew by memory every single psalm every time that we sing a psalm here in the church, we know for a fact every single Jewish person at that time and even today, they know by heart every single word of the psalm. So they knew very clearly every single passage of the scripture. But suddenly, this stranger starts to tell almost like a new tune, a new song to them, that basically as they start listening, they realize a new story is being told. He starts to interpret to them and to give an understanding why Jesus needed to die, why Jesus needed to resurrect in that particular way, that allowed them suddenly, as they were recalling and retelling later, our hearts were burning. We felt very deeply what this stranger was telling us. And we are telling a story, or he was telling them a story, that it was not a short story, because it took them 7 miles to go from Jerusalem to their village. So we are speaking probably, 5 hours, 4 hours? We don't do it 7 miles in 2 minutes, so they had a long conversation with this stranger. And when the day was coming to a close, when they arriving to their village, they noticed that the stranger was ready to continue the journey. And They were not yet ready to let him go. They wanted to hear more. They wanted to be part of this wonderful journey with this stranger, which in their hearts, it was not stranger anymore. They felt very deeply for them, someone very close to them, which they could not even put the hand and figure out exactly why he felt so close. So they invite him for dinner. Let's have a meal. Let's sit together. Let's share the bread. Let's share a wonderful drink together. And as they sat down, and again, they start hearing a tune they already heard so many times when they were with Jesus. When Jesus sat to them at table many times in their life, and when Jesus started breaking the bread and start praying with them and sharing the bread, suddenly dawned on them, the stranger is not the stranger, is the Lord that was with them all the time. So it was clearly for them, it was not the fact of recognizing by the face. The face didn't matter anymore after the resurrection. In matter of fact, the Jesus of the resurrection is full of surprises. Mary Magdalene sees a gardener, and when suddenly hears the voice, is able to recognize that Jesus. The disciples, they see someone that comes into them and they need to touch, or Jesus invites Thomas to touch, to be able to believe that he's the one, and so on and so on. So all these stories are not about being able to recognize a man with a beard. He's not anymore a man. Could be a child, could be an old person, could be whatever comes to our encounter and give us a sense of love, give us a sense of sharing, give us a sense of partaking of the bread. And so they were so overjoyed. And of course, the moment they recognize Jesus, that's the moment that Jesus disappears from their sight. But that didn't led them to a sense of frustration. Why? Because they knew that he was with them forever. They knew that he was alive. They knew that they could not hold on and say, let's have a good night's sleep. It was the end of the day, but it didn't matter for them. So they ran back to Jerusalem another 7 miles to tell the wonderful story about what happened that particular day. Their hearts were burning. They could not be asleep. They were completely awake because they see what was perceived as unseen. They were able to hear what was perceived as an impossible, and that led them to a beautiful and wonderful joy.
And your body makes us one. Your body makes us one. Your body makes us one in you. Oh, your body makes us one. Your body makes us one. Your body makes us one with you.
Let me tell a second story. And the story that we all experience. We come together every Sunday. I see most of the times the same faces that sit more or less in the same places. And we know how the Mass normally starts. We know that Jason asks the questions. And if you don't want to answer, we try to hide it ourselves. And we know that comes a moment that we ask God's forgiveness, which allow us to be a little more present, allow us to be a little more free, allow us to be able to start to listen to the passage of the Scripture. And we have a moment that we hear a passage of the Old or New Testament, we sing the Psalm, we have a second reading, we have the Gospel, and the priest or the deacon or any person that of goodwill invites us to reflect, invite us to look in the fresh eye at those passages that have been presented. And hopefully by that time, we start to have something that calls our attention, something that inspires us, something that allows us to relate and click in connection with our own lives. And afterwards comes the moment of the offertory, of the Eucharistic prayer, in the more, let's say, more symbolic way, but the same attitude of wanting to share. And when we come to the Eucharistic prayer, we are speaking about coming around the table, even though formally we are sitting where we are sitting, but imagine ourselves in the small group around the table, which means we are having dinner. We are having a wonderful celebration of life. And one person says, let us share this bread. Let us share this wine. And somehow we get inspired to go deeper in caring towards one another. And somehow we get the desire to find a sense of purpose in our life. And when comes the end of the Mass, the priest invites us, go forward to serve one another, which basically is the clue saying, our heart is burning. Let's go to the world like the disciples and give the good news and share the good news that somehow I'm also inspired for. Am I hearing something very similar to the first story? As you notice, what happens to disciples of Emmaus is the story of the Eucharist. What we are telling on the second part of the story is the first part of the story in many ways unfolds in a very complete way, which means the Eucharist is the purpose of the disciples of Emmaus, and Emmaus, that's what we are experiencing here through the Eucharist. Moments and glimpses of life that Jesus comes alive among us.
And your body makes us one. Your body makes us one. Your body makes us one in you. Oh, your body makes us one. Your body makes us one. Your body makes us one with you.
And the final story, and relating now with all our lives. We come here at 5:30, and sometimes we open the door for that part of our lives, and sometimes we close the door when the 6:30 or 6:45 arrives, and we wait just until the next Sunday to open that door of the compartment of our lives that moment happens, not realizing that it's not supposed to be a compartment, it's not supposed to be a drawer or a place that we put a section of my life, and comes the next moment and the next day, and that I need to go to work, I need to go to school, I need to be with my kids, I need to take care of my family, and suddenly I open another door and becomes another part of my life. So imagine that nothing of that exists. The moment that we leave the church becomes the beginning of the rest of our life. The beginning of the wonderful universal Eucharist, the wonderful universal journey, as the disciples of Emmaus started this journey, they're inviting us to go in that journey. They didn't find Jesus in the temple. They found Jesus in their own house, their own lives. In the same way, we are invited to go to this wonderful journey of life with our own stories, with our own crossroads that sometimes we wonder which direction should we go, and wondering which way should we pursue, and wondering how does God mixes in all of that, and wondering how the people that I love are part of this story. But as I start to find sense, find purpose, what I'm saying is I'm discovering that the stories that I hear in the Bible, they are not separate from the stories that happen in my own life. And the stories from my own life can become the stories of the Bible. And that is the wonderful understanding of looking at life as a time of God, a time of Eucharist, a time of celebration, a time of sharing. And the moments that in life I'm able to share and find a new meaning with others can be a wonderful moment also in our lives. Those are the moments, those are the instants that Christ becomes alive. And that's my prayer for each one of us, that as we continue this wonderful journey of life, that we are awake, searching for Jesus that is already there, searching for Jesus present that comes to us in so many unexpected and new ways that could surprise us. But if we are open to the surprise, we are welcoming Jesus' love, Jesus' compassion and care towards one another. That's the final one.
And your body makes us one. Your body makes us one. Your body makes us one in you. Oh, your body makes us one. Your body makes us one. Your body makes us one with you.
Amen. Please stand.